Thank you, Father, for that promise, that in you we can be absolutely certain of your love in the present and have a confidence about the future. Thank you that whatever is happening, you remain totally trustworthy. And I pray you would deepen our trust in you today. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome, St. Margaret's. It's great to see you. Thank you very much for coming when you could have been enjoying the sunshine outside or even remaining at your desk. So thank you so much for coming, and thank you, Will and the band, for leading us in worship. In a moment, I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 5. But first, I just want to pray for Jean, who retires on Friday. She's been in the city for some time, and in fact, the last three senior partners at Slaughter and May, she remembers them as trainees when they first arrived. So she's been able to keep them humble in spite of their high office. But she has been an absolute rock in our Friday morning prayer meetings for at least 15 years. Friday by Friday, she's been interceding for the city and the church here at St. Margaret's. I just want to pray for you, Jean. I mean, you're a Manchester United fan, which is a pity. But but apart from that, the Lord is thrilled with you. So, good. I should get credit from Cliff, who'll be thinking perhaps the Lord really prefers Arsenal after all. So let me just pray for you. Father, I just want to thank you for the witness of Jean's life in that office all these years, and for her passion for you expressed in intercession in this church year after year on Friday morning. And I pray now as she retires that she would enter the next stage of what you have planned for her in her life. And may she be blessed. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well done. Of course, she'll be furious with me for mentioning it, but never mind. There's only 48 hours left in the city for her to be furious with me at all. May I read to you a few verses from Romans chapter 5? Romans 5 on page 1068. Romans 5 and beginning at verse 1. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us." One of the signs of a really good friend is that they encourage you, and they're there with just the right bits of encouragement when you need them most. Of course, sometimes really good friends don't encourage you quite as much as you'd like. I was having coffee with a long-standing friend on Friday morning, and we decided, as there weren't many people in the place where we're having coffee, we could pray discreetly at the end of our coffee. And she prayed, "Now, Lord Jesus, I do ask you to bless Jeremy now in the sunset years of his life." I naturally kept a pastorally calm face while thinking, actually, I thought I was in the mid-afternoon years, really. But she showed no hesitation about basically consigning me to the next world, as I was rather enjoying this one, actually. But she didn't meant to encourage me, of course, as I'm sure she would have said had I raised it. And certainly what the Apostle Paul is wanting to do with these Christians in halfway through the first century in Rome was to encourage them. It's almost as we read these verses as if he was saying, "I don't want you to miss out on anything that God has for you. Naturally, being the Apostle Paul, he writes it at great length, but that is in essence what he's trying to get across them. I don't want you to miss out on anything that God has for you. Paul knew that their lives were not without hassles, not without problems. They were a minority faith in a city which wasn't particularly keen on Christians. Other religions were all right. There were certain religions that always seemed to get a good press. Christians didn't get a good press at all. And Paul was very clear that he wanted to encourage them even though life was full of hassles. And he could be so confident that he was not just saying nice things, but being really spot on because of all that the Lord Jesus Christ had done for them. We saw that in verse 1 and the first part of verse 2. There are a whole lot of phrases and words which, unfortunately, because I don't have half an hour, I can't talk about. But you know, he talks about peace with God, access to God, grace from God. Basically saying, because of Jesus, you have a loving, welcoming, personal relationship with God. And he was so committed to you that he made that relationship possible at so great a cost. Jesus Christ had to die because God the Father wanted to have that loving, welcoming, personal relationship with you, Christians in Rome, that you enjoy at the moment. He didn't want them to miss out on anything of that relationship. And just to make sure that they didn't, he highlighted three qualities that he wanted to have at the heart of their lives. He wanted them to have perspective, as we see in the first part of verse 3. Not only so, he says, we glory in our sufferings. He says you have to decide to celebrate even when things are far from easy. It's so easy, he knew, because of all he'd been through. And it was certainly true of those first century Christians in Rome. When the pressure was on, it was easy to lose any sense of perspective. He says you've got to celebrate. That's what it means when we read here, boast. And we do that as we praise and as we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way to keeping our perspective clear, to throw ourselves into worship, even when half of us is thinking, I'm not quite sure I can sing this. I'm not quite sure this is me at the moment. I'm feeling so hassled by what I'm having to put up with at the moment. I can't sing. And Paul says, celebrate, praise, allow Jesus to give you the perspective that he wants you to have. And in the second part of verse 4, he writes about hope. He says, I want you to be expectant about what God might do next. He knew too that when things weren't easy, we all begin to expect less in terms of answers to prayer. He says, check your expectancy levels at regular intervals. Are you expecting God to do something in you and through you? What are you expecting God to do in answer to your prayers? Concentrate on what he has done and what you believe he wants to do next. Don't be overwhelmed by the situation in which you find yourselves. Celebrate, he says. Be expectant. And finally, he says, never allow yourselves to feel shortchanged by God. We read in verse 5, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. The Message for translation of the Bible translates verse 5 as wonderfully American way. Translates that we can't round up enough containers to hold everything that God generously wants to pour into our lives through the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you and me to feel shortchanged. He wants us to have experienced more and more of his presence and his love in our lives. He wants us to be those who are determined to seek more of him, who say, I want that perspective, Lord Jesus. I want the grace to celebrate whatever's happening. I just need more and more of you, and I'm bold enough to ask for it. Because if Jesus went to the cross in order that you and I, Father, can relate to each other, that you and I can have that I can have that wonderfully loving, personal, welcoming relationship with you, then when I ask you for the resources I need, when I ask to experience more of your love, I know that with you the answer is always yes. And today Jesus looks at us and says, seek more, celebrate, be expectant, because he loves you so much.